At Christmas time, there are certain movies that everyone watches. A Christmas Carol, The Grinch, Charlie Brown's Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life, those sorts of films. I guess because it's about the birth of a baby and about giving gifts, the popular imagination seems to have an easier time telling and retelling the wonderful story of our Lord's birth and what it has come to mean to us. The outcome of that story is quite simply part of our own common experience. It's a baby, and we all know about the hope and the love that babies bring to us, and the new life that comes from that. But at Easter time, Hollywood struggles a little bit. The death and rebirth of that same baby is not quite so easy to reimagine. A longer, larger, deeper leap of faith is required. But there is one movie in particular that I think does a really great job of this. It searches for and finds the resurrection not just in the distant past and the far-off place, but here in the ordinary realities that we live. The film is quite old now. It was made in 1989, and it's called Field of Dreams. You might have seen it. It stars Kevin Costner as an Iowa farmer who is called in a vision to build a baseball diamond in his cornfield. He is told, if you build it, he will come. He turns out to be Shoeless Joe Jackson, a long-deceased legend of baseball who simply appears from among the cornstalks to play ball with an angelic host of other resurrected greats. In a beautiful visual metaphor of resurrection, the players melt in and out of the cornfield, and only certain people can see them. Their purpose in coming, of course, is not just love of the game. Shoeless Joe and his angelic team have come to fulfill the hopes and heal the dreams that live on in us from generation to generation. The Kevin Costner character finds himself on a kind of mystic quest through which his daughter is brought back from the dead, his farm is saved, and his own long-dead father is finally put to rest. Most of this is depicted in a rural Midwestern landscape of surpassing beauty. At one point, one of Shoeless Joe's players asks, "Is this heaven?" To which the reply in the film is, "No, this is Iowa." But the movie is so beautiful that you almost want to say, "Heaven? Heaven, yes, this is Iowa." Those who can't see these heavenly players, of course, can't understand why the farmer has wasted valuable cropland on this expensive baseball field, which, as far as they can see, has no purpose and is not used. When they see the farmer and his family watching phantom games at an apparently empty baseball park, they think he has lost his mind. They steadfastly and forcefully preach to him about the financial realities and the real threat that he will lose his farm. They urge him to sell before he loses everything. But there comes an Easter morning for them, too, when the farmer's young daughter is saved from death by one of the players. Moonlight Graham steps off the field of dreams to save the child's life and discovers that his true calling is not baseball, but medicine. He cannot go back after that. Once the doubters have witnessed this miracle, their eyes are opened and they cannot go back. Suddenly, they can see players on the field of dreams that they could not see before. The whole team was there all along, of course, but the doubters did not have eyes to see. When they look back, they realize that reality is not what they thought it was. They come to believe in the field of dreams. And this is what Easter does for us. It gives us eyes to see. Not only is everything different for the disciples after Easter, but everything before it is changed as well. Our whole way of seeing is changed. In the movie, the doubters think that they understood the story. They think that they understand the way things are, until they look back from the ending. This is what Easter does for us. It's not that events have changed. It's just that we have a new way of seeing them. We interpret the possibilities differently. What was impossible before is not only now possible, but it has been happening everywhere and all along. But we didn't see it until now. And we can call this new vision Easter eyes. It's not just seeing new things. It's seeing all things through different eyes. With Easter eyes, we are now able to see through solid objects, things which were huge, inevitable, impenetrable, unchangeable, and taken for granted, are suddenly life-sized and transparent. The inevitability of our dying, for example, was once unsolvable, dark, looming. Its triumph seemed inevitable. Like the bank's impending foreclosure in the film, it drew everything into its orbit. It was a fixed point from which the location of all things was reckoned. But that is no more. Through Easter eyes, we see a field of dreams and the emptiness of the tomb. Sure, there is a grave, but it is empty. Before and after, it is life which is full. At funerals, there is a question which often looms for people. They often ask, "Where has my loved one gone? Where are they now?" I hear this question a lot. And I think it's a bit more pressing now, because there are so few unknown places in our universe. We feel we have explored so much of the earth and the heavens. We can still, of course, point upwards and say with reassurance that our loved ones have gone to heaven. Everyone knows what we mean, and it is a truth. But everyone also knows that Aunt Mary has not gone to Jupiter. We know because we've been there. We've seen the photos radioed back from interplanetary spaceships, and Aunt Mary isn't there. She is here, at the heart of us. I feel I've learned a deeper truth about this from experience and from those whom I've been privileged to serve. So many totally sensible people have come to me in moments of lucidity and told me that they were visited by their deceased loved ones, that I now no longer question it. Through Easter eyes, I see now the truth of this. When people ask me where their beloved wives, husbands, fathers, mothers, children have gone, I'm able to say in wonder and amazement, but also in faith and truth, our loved ones are here. They surround us like so great a cloud of witnesses. Their bodies are gone, their heirlooms bequeathed, but their life is still here, and God is still working in us through their lives. I suddenly know now what Jesus and the prophets were saying and living, what Easter reveals. God is the God of the living. His love for us is not changed by our dying. It's not our dying with which he concerns himself at all. In his love, he gives us the life eternal. In returning that love and passing it on, we receive eternally life. Death is no matter, and God simply has no role in it except to bring healing. It's not that God's eternity lasts forever. It's simply that in God's love, all time is now. This is what we see through Easter eyes. This is what we see when we look back from the ultimate end and purpose of our lives. That God's love is working in our lives eternally, now. Through Easter eyes, we see that in the lives of all who went before us, through our love for them, God is working in our lives and hearts now. It's like having a sixth sense. We can suddenly see that not only have the dead been raised, but in God and in us, they simply kept on living. In that sense, they care for us like the angels of old. It would be good to stop here, but there is one more thing. We can see now, if we are willing to look, that in love and life, loved ones are eternally loving and living with us. But we ought to see clearly also those whose angels we will be, in whose hearts we will dwell, in whose lives our life will do God's work. In that, we may see the hope that is before us. In that hope is a new heaven and a new earth, if we will see it. If that is not redemption, if that is not salvation, I don't know what is or what could be. In that truth, it is not just that Christ is risen, it is that we have. With Christ, we have risen, and in all things are made new. At the end of the movie, the farmer has a question for one of the ballplayers. Is there a heaven? He asks, his voice trembling. It's a vulnerable moment. He can hardly bear to hear the answer. Oh yeah, is the reply. It's the place where dreams come true. The farmer looks around him at all he has, at his family and his farm. He sees suddenly how his dreams have come true there. He realizes that maybe this is heaven. Maybe Iowa was his heaven all along and he just didn't see it. It's something to contemplate. If here is a closed reality in which only certain affordable possibilities are true, and only for a few, then I don't think we can bless this place. Don't think we can bless this place with the name of heaven. But if we can look up and see beyond stars into mystery, then maybe we can see with Easter eyes that what was once a solid dome is now an open universe, and yet we love and are loved here.